Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon again, Trinidad and Tobago. Welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM. We have a nice interview to kick things off here this afternoon. Join me in welcoming award-winning choreographer and dance educator Dr. Carol LaChapelle. She holds a PhD from UTT and Master of Arts 2007 from the University of the West Indies. She's also a graduate of London College of Dance and Drama 1973, Dartford College of Education, University of London, and is the artistic director of the LaChapelle Dance Company of Trinidad and Tobago since 1977 to present. She has served as the executive and as a term president of the NDA on the board of management of Queen's Hall, as the Best Village Judge and dance director of the Trinidad Theatre Workshop. She has collaborated with Elizabeth Bergman at Harvard University, Greta Mendez, MBA UK, and Geraldine Connor of Carnival Messiah fame, among others. So welcome Dr. LaChapelle to the program as
Thank
we discuss
you.
Activities relating to the Emancipation Day celebration.
Well, greetings. It is my pleasure to share with you on this Emancipation Day my understandings of the African influence on our dance. I offer a particular perspective where Caribbean dance is seen as a resplendent reflection of a people's spirit and an influence on New World culture. Self-representation is linked to self-definition and the capacity for innovation, like the creation of the steel band or soca or the many Caribbean style carnivals worldwide. Dance is connected with the phenomenon of survival and retention or continuity of African heritages, a notion of a continuum that leads to a notion of the dance as a lived process. Our dance, like our music, is a celebration of the emergence of the Afro-Caribbean person, and approaches to Afro-Caribbean culture stress its syncretic or mosaic character in an attempt to relocate what was submerged. But first, a little history. From mid-17th century, when African slaves were imported to the islands, they brought their culture and traditions with them and shared their knowledge orally, passing on remembered traditions with spiritual roots. Slavery as a dominant system of labor and social institution brought prejudice, restricting human potential, perpetuating stereotypes, and causing much to be destroyed, lost, or obliterated. Plantation life involved points of contact and flow, and the dominant white Creole culture coexisted in overt tension with the dominant black variant. By the late 18th century, French plantation owners allowed their slaves to take part in the carnival balls, and when subjugated Africans were permitted to enter the public sphere in the mid-19th century after the Kambule riot, they took over the streets, and carnival as we know it was born out alongside calypso music, which had its origins with West and Central African slaves.
Dr. LaChapelle?
Yes.
All right. May I interject a minute and ask you something?
Yeah.
You mentioned Kambule. So just digress a bit and explain to our listening public what it is. A lot of persons do not know the term or do not understand it.
Well, I don't really want to digress, but as
okay, just give me that little piece.
Cane brûlé, canes burning, of a parade that was allowed, and like so many times in our history, when the powers of the, when Massa decided you're not to do that anymore, the riots occurred because we as a people resisted. Enough, stop, let us have our thing, let us have the opportunity. And so carnival and that granting of permission came out of that moment when the people, when our people rioted and said, no, we will fight you. We must be able to have
our celebrations. Thank you very much. Thank you
when
very much for that.
It becomes a celebration, but yeah.
Thank
okay,
you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. So you heard it.
After the Kambule riots, carnival, as we know, it was born because we now had the freedom and it developed and evolved over time, alongside calypso music, which had its origins in Western Central African slaves. Praise and blame songs of West Africa preceded the songs of the chantwell and the calypso. Recall the words of Rudder's calypso music. Do you hear a distant drum? I am no singer, but the links to Africa. For me personally, I hear a drum, my body wants to move.
Mm-hmm.
The arts link history and nation. And Trinidad is known to have an abundance of folk forms that evolved during the colonial period. From Africa came nation dance, Igbo from Nigeria, Juba, Manding, Coromanti from Guinea, big drum, and just naming names that may not mean anything, but the different dances that came from different parts to our country and that have survived. From West Africa, limbo, which is now identified as tourist entertainment, at wakes during bongo, which was danced to drums in honor of the dead, part of a funeral rite, and it reflects strong belief in ancestor worship. The culture and Caribbean imagination came out of ghetto, out of the lower classes, out of the working classes, social terms, out of a need really to express oneself. Some of the traditional characters danced in carnivals still include dragons, devils, bats, jamalati, blue devils, jab jab, in the style of European court jester, because there is much interchange with Europe, but our focus today is on Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So jab jab would have been a pun on master-slave relations, which is why I bring it in. As the traditional repertoire expanded, mass moved from street, the dancing in the street, to stage, performances on stage, to Olympic stages, which was initiated and supported by Peter Minshall, and then to mainstream theater. Some of you may remember Geraldine Connor's Carnival Messiah, that big theatrical production that she created and that I choreographed, and the sense of pride that it generated. Mass, as we know it, crossed frontiers of design and adapted to different contexts as it engaged with modernity. So our carnival, in other words, and our dances have evolved. According to the Prince Claus Foundation, since 2001, high art was thrown onto the streets. Because, of course, that is a whole other discussion. High art versus low art gets me very upset. I don't like the idea that anything that comes from me, from my people, from my ancestors, will be classed as low. But we have to defend those allegations. Other dance forms include kalinda, or stick fighting, now seen mainly in dance presentations, but it is reminiscent of the warrior spirit and offers shows of prowess in the kalinda yards, which preceded the calypso tents, where bele, with its many variations of the island, swore bele, grand bele, and Dam Loring, which satirized the upper classes, that's what the slaves did, laugh at the masters when they peeped in at them performing, satirized the upper classes. And that also is a performance that has been passed down. Local jumbies on their stilts originate in many African tribes and grace local and international presentations thanks to Dragon and others. Schools have been set up to perpetuate the form. More recently, mokojambis depicting ballet queens have become mass champions. Elaborate forms of masking, which elevate the interaction between human and the supernatural, where the body is enclosed in large costumes and headpieces are worn, echo the Ogun masks of the Yoruba. Professor Jeff Henry, in his book Under the Mask, offers specific connections to certain traditions. Another scholar, Maureen Warner Lewis, uncovered links between Africa and the Caribbean in all aspects of culture. In her book, Guinea's Other Sons, The African Dynamic in Trinidad Culture, it explored religious beliefs and rituals of Yoruba the Angola, the Hausa, the Raga communities, evaluating the influence from the Congo throughout the region. And make no mistake, the influences from Africa vary slightly from island to island. Ritual, dance, and music serve as vehicles for cultural self-realization. And the populist nature of our national culture is associated with notions of spirit of a people. This came from Eric Williams' attitude, spirit of the people, where traditions, oral codes, and memory dominate. Rituals like Shango, according to Will Lovelace, the spirit dipping and leaping up like the flames of a flambeau lighting up the ring, represent the god of thunder and lightning, and includes many Orishas who possess special characteristics that are demonstrated on arrival at the Shango feasts. Ogun dances as in doing battle. Oshun, goddess of the rivers, glides, mimics swimming, does her toilet, flirts. Yimonja, the water deity, dances with her oar or fan. The complexity of the form may well have led to its survival. Another ritual, Saraka, is a feast of sacrifice and thanksgiving and takes us back to the land of origin. It is performed at weddings and, according to Moliahi, is linked to the coast of Guinea. Our dance was hitherto denounced as sexually provocative, yet it is a clear link to Africa as our movement styles associated with other syncretic Caribbean forms like ballet, pique, pongo. Spirit embodying materials, bead embroidery, and patterns reflect a belief in divinity, and plumed headdresses are said to ward off evil. Props, the slave driver's rod, staff, the whip, shepherd's crook, swords suggest a relationship to power. It was our own Baron Gwenny, now known as Mother of Caribbean Dance, who worked to highlight a manifestation of Trinidad culture equal to Western forms, and who successfully propelled our folk into the limelight from the 1940s. Like protege Moliahi, she highlighted the ballet, which remains one of the most lyrical, graceful forms with links to Africa. With the development of Best Village from 1960, Tobago's Congo ballet became prominent, and the pique danced in pairs as a more rhythmic, virile form relates to the fecundity dances of West Africa. Dance styles vary, but common features like contractions of the torso, hip rotation, stomps, turns, and acrobatic moves are generally present. Body parts appear to respond to different rhythms, expressing different emotions in the sense of polyrhythmic movement. Daniel Crowley stresses the similarity between African and Caribbean styles, notably the use of isolations, as in isolating body parts, shoulders, hips, neck, spirit, the understanding that this spirit of who we are is contained in the movement of the expressions. Rituals sustained the African aesthetic in largely underground happenings. We had to hide to keep the culture alive. Until emancipation, 1917 saw the passing of the Shouters Prohibition Ordinance, remaining in effect over 30 years, banning this method of worship as a violation of colonial notions of respectability. Yet the primary signifier against religious aspects, established order for diasporic people, is the phenomenon of possession, a singularly African trait in performance. We call it catching the power. Andrew Bedu, an Orisha priest and master drummer, once said to me, "Shango, like you." Well, I certainly was fascinated by the ritual and had many opportunities to create pieces for Derek Walcott, from Dream on Monkey Mountain, performed throughout the Caribbean and US, to The Odyssey in Washington. I created Shango for theater in Haiti for their 200th year independence celebration, which we took to the UK. I created Shango in the UK and in the USA. revival and later Siamander that highlighted the ritual became La Chapelle Douglas's signature dance company piece when we performed, which we performed in concert with Bob Marley. African retentions and transformations manifest enactments of great artistic beauty, allowing not only a liberating catharsis and a sexual release that may be associated with some fertility cult, but also a sense of future and of possibility. The performing arts has become a means to create consciousness, providing ways to redefine our cultural identity. Emancipation marked the end of slavery. And from 1985, we commemorate the abolition of slavery from the British in 1938. It was Derek Walcott who stated that we need to be free of the burden of history and the need to reclaim it for the possibilities of fresh creation. Representation, performance, erases the pain of history and of struggle. An aesthetic shaped by traditional beliefs can be cultivated and celebrated, bearing witness against assertions of inferiority, the low art. Surviving time, displacement, and marginalization. Pre-independence placed emphasis on folk and on African heritage, providing the foundation to engage in popular cultural production. Politicians reached out to intellectuals and artists to shape their objectives while articulating Black nationalism. Yet the revolutionary ascendance of the cultural products of the region, our arts have become the most potent signifier. It is what stamps us, it's what identifies us. It is what allows us to claim who we are as Caribbean people. Jeffrey Holder in the 1950s is an example of an outstanding dance practitioner whose work, Duwiz Timbuktu, was rooted in folk. He crossed conceptual boundaries in a sublime, transformative aesthetic. Both Jeffrey and his brother Bosco, painter, actor, choreographer, were influenced by Beryl McBurney. Today, according to J.D. Elder, Best Village is the means and the way that serves to transmit origins and the character of cultural data. And groups like Northwest Lavanti, Wasafule, dance choreographers like Ian and Dion Batiste, Master Charles, Mindy Jilts, Delton Frank, continue the legacy of Astor Johnson, of Beryl McGuinney, of Gene Coggins. Previously, Europeans established the dominant classes as the producers of superior standards. Nationalists were compelled to distance themselves from Africa, and the skills involved with the performing traditional culture were not seen useful as entertainment for the elite. Yet our culture, like Carnival, like the African elements that remain intact, represents our sense of collective freedom. Thankfully, our education system has embraced the arts into the curriculum. This discourse has the intention to nourish cultural awareness and build self-esteem. As globalization offers opportunities and alternative cultural frameworks, the Creole view of folk is challenged. 20th and 21st century youths are urban, migratory, based in popular culture influenced by African Americans. Henry Louis Gates has stated, we need to write ourselves into being on our own terms as subjects rather than as objects. The syncretic blending of African and European heritages, of religion, the survival of patterns of performance, attests to self-assertion. Masterful performance can be empowering as we take the spirit of the old and transfer to the new, drawing strength from traditions to articulate a different reality. Classic expressions become prime sources of energy in the vital quest for cultural certitude. I invite a shift in perception of the worth of our art. Our Creole dance practices are evidence of a continuum and legacy, cementing an aesthetic that is testimony to our uniqueness, while allowing us to celebrate our African heritage and simultaneously signal our cultural identity. Happy Emancipation.
Wow. I thoroughly enjoyed that presentation.
Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. To be totally honest, it felt as though I was listening. I mean, I know it was factual, it was historical, but the way you presented this, I can just imagine sitting down as a student to one of your lecturers, what it is like.
Well, used to be a dancer, you know. I say used to be because people say you're never anything but. But I think it's more dancing in the voice now than in the body.
Well, I was thinking along those lines. So anybody that wants to call us quick before the doctor departs, is 627-3223. We have a very brief window to speak with her, our 30-minute window. And one of the things I wanted to ask you in listening to everything, dance as a culture. You said that it embodies the spirit of a person, and it encompasses the religious aspects. Is this what you speak of, part of what is recognized today as Emancipation Day celebrations?
That's a broad question, because it's who recognizes it and who accepts that there is often a religious background, rites, rituals, the understandings that are passed down from history. So emancipation is a freedom, it's an opening, it's an offering that can allow us to move forward, because we can't always, as I said before, we can't always question our past in terms of, are we less than? Is Europe always going to be the hegemonic leader? And what then does that then make us? As I said, very wide, but the freedom that we now have, for me, and I'm going to get in a point I want very quickly here. I love that other countries, first world countries, have taken their art to major stages, you know, Royal Ballet and Philharmonic and all of this. Wonderful. And this is what I want for my country. This is what I want. I want to see our dance not only as entertainment for a party or the beginning of a carnival band, or, you know, I want
I understand.
To see it pages applauded because we have a national company like and better than Jamaica, you know, who absolutely pays homage to the work of Rex Nettleford and the dance company that is recognized as one of the best coming out of the Caribbean worldwide. I want that for Trinidad. We have a Philharmonic. We're doing well with the music. Everybody knows we created, invented the steel band. But I want that our dance forms in performance get the opportunity to develop into classic Swan Lakes that can be repeated and taught, and that our children could aspire and want to be part of that amazing shango that's done annually, you know?
But that's the thing. I hear you, and I am feeling that Best Village, I hear you mention Best Village in your presentation. I'm like thinking to myself, where is Best Village today?
What is the vision?
What went on?
We started this, and as I said, the politicians used the idea. It's a great beginning, a place that many artists will say, you know, I started at Best Village.
Yes.
But where do you go from there? We have to get a move on. Minister, if you're listening, what is the vision? How do we establish standards? Who's putting the work in to set the stage for the next and the next, so we can be as amazing as we were meant to be?
I am worried when individuals like yourself, with this knowledge and the way the presentation style, when you guys are no longer before us, how will we encompass in this with the next generation? Because when you look at the school curriculum today, is dance and theater a part of it? No. They are so centralized and focusing on academics and making sure you get your passes and your this. That is good, you know. I have no problem with it. Because you can be the best songstress in the world, but if you don't have a good education foundation to go with that, you have problems. So nothing is wrong with the academics. But where is the arts? Are we only recognizing the soca artists that reaches? Is that what our culture minister, Minister of Culture and Development, only recognizing when they reach to Germany and they're singing on a stage and wine? Is that all? Is our culture only about soca music?
I'm so happy that you say what you say because, you know, because I'm who I am, people expect me to make those kind of statements. But I'm like, can't we see that that is how, I mean, these major ballets and major arias, etc., it came from humble beginnings. Somebody
yes.
sang a folk song and then came Mozart and they were put into the, you know, we have work to do. And you don't understand why we're still handing out little moments, you know?
Yes.
Come and do a dance. Yeah, a few dollars.
Yes. Yes. So the Prime Minister has a gala. And he decides, you know what, I need to encompass this part of the art and theatre to impress my dignitaries and invited guests.
And entertainment.
And that's it.
Seen in, at the level that it could. Oh, when I think of Bubsy Sharp and what he can do with a fan, you know, mind-blowing. When I think of Beryl and Molly and people who give their lives to producing dances of worth, why don't we have ballets, as in our ballets?
Our cultural ballet, the way we would do it.
Our ballets that are being perpetuated, improved. You know how many times I've seen only different version every time because choreographers aspire to being able to work at that level with that kind of work. Where is ours?
Exactly.
Where is ours?
But then, if we do have those individuals, those untapped and uncharted territories in the country, where's the support coming from? I am of the firm view, and I will say this and make it very clear with no apologies. When Keyshawn Wolcott was heading out, Dr. Carol LaChapelle, we were a country only synonymous with what? Running. We was the 100 meter and the 200 meter dash and the relay race. Yes, Trinidad and Tobago, we could run. Recently, we started to swim. But nobody thought that a boy from Toko in Trinidad and Tobago would have gone to the world stage and score a gold medal in the Olympics. In javelin, sorry. Did we understand and aspire to help this man throughout his training, giving him recognition, letting the wider diaspora understand that we have a contestant, an Olympian, going up for the Olympics, the chances that he could come home with one of these medals, gold, silver, bronze? No. We only heard about Keyshawn Wolcott on a larger scale when he scored. Then when he was coming back, everybody won the fanfare. And as I always say, when America, when the world embraces our cultures, then we just realize the value and the worth of it. But we don't have the mindset as a government
vision.
To
we're
put it in
place. We're lacking the vision.
We're lacking it.
I mean, I do hope somebody says that, Minister, do you know these people on this radio 106 call your name a couple of times? Call his name. You know,
but we are Luther's office.
Yes.
Yes.
You must. It cannot just be let us have carnival again. We will have carnival. Of course we will. That is what we do. And I love it too. But where, in terms of the culture and building it and setting standards and writing it down and educating and allowing, and as you said, finding the opportunities for young people or young excellence, people of excellence who could possibly be as good as. Of course we can.
You know,
like Michelle, of course we can.
I am now thinking.
We have to have the platform.
That's right.
We have to have the platform. Somebody has to recognize that it's step by step by step. We cannot still be at this stage of my life. We still just have the best village competition. You win, you get a trip. We never hear from you again until the next competition. What?
But then, and then if we do have it, how widespread is this? Are we really engaging our young persons, our young individuals in the world of arts and drama? We have persons who on the block, students who may not. Because everybody can't be scholars. Everybody ain't going to be doctors. You can use these individuals and teach them something that they can use their hands on.
And
become actors.
Tap into the elders. You can tap into the elders, the minstrels and the Clark just gone. You know, we have excellence there that even if it's just a lecture, that could inspire,
listen,
that could motivate. Look at the body of work Leroy Clark has produced in his lifetime. And it is as outstanding as you will ever see art. And where is it? Locked up in his place if his daughter hopefully will manage it well. You know, that people can come in from time to time and walk around and look. That should have been a museum already.
I was not going to tell you that. The government should have sought to take that and place it
Come
where
on.
it can be seen to the wider public and be educated on it.
And something we should be proud of. Look at that work. Look at the level of work. Look at the quantity of the work. You know, why don't we have Wayne Barclay and Minshall's drawings and sketches and, you know, to inspire young designers, not only go to competition and hope to win.
So true.
Oh, well. Hey, we're over time. Okay?
I certainly hope in this lifetime that you are here with us to see this transition happen, because I have looked at what the government of the day put emphasis on. They are so astute in their thoughts that they want to eradicate, stamp out, bring down, lessen zero tolerance on crime, the young people, and he put a policy in place. But I am chatting with you, listening to you on this emancipation presentation, and recognizing that there are territories and different ways that the same government of the day can employ these youths, and I use the term employ, and get them involved in the arts and drama instead of having them wasted on the block. Rebuild their community centers, not just for persons who are having a function and a wedding that they come to it and they rent it out and that kind of thing, but put back the same best village format, allowing these youths to be part of something, make them feel important and glorified, put it on the national televisions, perpetuate it on our media stations so that they can feel involved.
Opportunities, really. It's one very valid opportunity to be, because somehow when we think of the arts, we kind of recognize that, hey, I don't have to have a piano. You know, it means the cost. A dancer has his instrument already, born with it. Right? You have to tune it. But like Ishan, guess what? You could make Olympics, or you could be an amazing proponent of your art. You know, give the opportunities, make these centers function at the highest level. Don't just build a community center and take a picture and, all right, we don't want to go there. But that is what it seems to me, because I don't see the vision.
And every minister that sits in that seat, I say to them this afternoon, and those aspiring to go to that seat, go there, listen to the good doctor this afternoon, and create a vision. Not just a mission statement, but come with a vision to back what you are saying and promising the people. I was saying before I spoke to you and do this interview this afternoon, I started the show by letting persons know the time has come where on various levels of our secondary school system, it should be incorporated and encompassed that individuals, we should be able to hold symposiums, bringing in persons from various walks of life. When I say various walks, in terms of the employment background, I want you to come in and speak to the person who's a cashier and a supervisor, whatever. Listen to their story to help the students in there recognize, I need to put the work in to do better, to go forward in life. Don't just bring a doctor or a lawyer to speak. Bring the man who just drive the container. Let him explain to you what his mind have to go through when he's taking that container off the docks and driving up that road to deliver it to a customer. Let that person come to the school, hold symposiums of various levels, and let us educate the youths. And don't do it once, you know, but make it part of the curriculum where they can look forward to these talks, these lectures, symposium. I like to use the word symposium because it's shorter. You don't want to bombard them and have them burdened down with a lecture, but something that's practical, that is relatable to them. Thank you. I went off there with you.
Yes, and I let you have the
I appreciate it, because sometimes I just get emotional about these things. I just get real passionate.
Yes, that's me. You know, I'm still absolutely passionate, and I do, as you suggested, hope that I'm still around when things improve, and I pray that they will improve, because we need to do more. We need to achieve more. We need to put things in place so our youth have opportunities and possibilities for growth and development, and areas where they can excel beyond 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of...
I know. One last point I want to draw to you before you go. I believe in entrepreneurship. Persons learn to be entrepreneurs. I don't believe in looking down at a person because he likes plumbing. You need these in the architects that design big buildings. They go to plumbing companies, and the owners of these plumbing companies employ plumbers. You need those designers. You need those masons. You need those carpenters to come and put in your cupboards and your doors. Those persons are very integrated and essential in our life. So don't look down on these individuals. Rather, empower them. Show them that there is value in what they do, whether it be mechanics, whatever.
And there are different levels of
that's
performance.
Right. That's
right. Because the same plumber could decide that one day he wants to create a, you know, and leave it wide open, because it's not only about using your hands, you know, and certain skills, but you have the opportunity to develop those skills even, you know, or extend into other areas of what you've started. It's not a one and done.
I understand.
You know, you don't have to be really simple. I can fix this with a wrench.
Yes, I understand.
You might understand the whole structure eventually. And be able to lay that down for someone or a building or a complex. You know, it can grow and grow and grow.
A special thank you to you, Dr. Carol LaChapelle, for joining our conversation on how Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean diaspora have been influenced by the culture of the African continent. I can certainly say that we loved learning about how the dances from the African continent reached into Trinidad and Tobago and impacted our local culture since the emancipation of slavery. And I encourage you, Dr. LaChapelle, to not be a stranger to Freedom 106.5. With that, I say thank you.
Thank you.
And I bid you farewell. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. Bye-bye. And that, folks, was Dr. Carol LaChapelle sharing with us what emancipation is all about.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.